idea that we would be traveling through the life of Abraham in depth like this. We looked at Moses. We looked a little bit at David. That came, men that came face to face with God. And so our passage has brought us to this place where Abraham, the very thing that he was waiting on, God told him to release it, to sacrifice it. I want it back. And so we call this sermon today the faith love test. This love that I'm talking about shows that no matter what is being asked, not axed, you know, sometimes I've been axed to do this. Yeah. what's being asked of you and I, we're willing to do it because the one who is asking is God. It seems like an unfair deal when you look at Abraham's journey. I think about this a lot. I think about the fact that God asked him to follow him. He didn't hesitate. He did his part. He left family. He left his familiar environment. And he stepped out on faith. Matter of fact, the Bible calls him the father of faith. Because he gives us the blueprint. Tell your neighbor the blueprint. The blueprint to passing the test. The blueprint of what faith is supposed to look like. Now at my 11 o'clock service, I'll be talking about that again. But the thing about this story of Abraham and this faith love test is the fact that God did not hide what he was doing. He says, I want to test him. In fact, I'm going to test him. I think that most believers, we think that just because we've done something for God, that God is somehow obligated to return it and to give it back in return. But God says, if you do something for me, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you totally love me? Or you just see me as someone who can keep returning to you what you ask of me? God had Abraham to wait 25 years of waiting. Wishing, hoping, praying. There are some mistakes they made. And they got impatient. That was the earlier part of their faith. That, you know, Sarah and Hagar and Abraham got together and they concocted a plan that would advance God's program. Come on, somebody. Anybody here trying to advance God's program because maybe you're impatient? Maybe you're trying to do a little bit more because you think if I do a little bit more, maybe it will happen faster. The one thing I know about God, he does not give us what we want. He gives us what we need, and he gives us a little bit of what we want when he wants to, but really he supplies our need according to his riches and glory. I'm talking about God here. And Abraham doesn't know it, but Abraham is actually creating the definition of faith. If you read your Bible and you look at his faith life, you and I can pick up some clues. Now, after you've waited so long, I told you in my last sermon that if you're going to pass the faith love test, I told you, number one, you have to put your complete trust in God. Told you to press on no matter how you feel, because faith is not about feelings. I told you, if you are puzzled or perplexed, pay attention. Then I told you, you got to pay attention to what's missing from worship. When Isaac was going up this hill, he said, Daddy, something is missing. Can I ask you a question? What's missing from your life? What's really missing from your worship? You're walking by faith, but there's something missing. Is it fellowship? Is it relationship? Is it service? Is it what? Is it spiritual maturity? What is it that, watch this, you've been walking by faith a long time. You got a big old Bible and you can read it. But there's still something missing. And if you and I are not careful, we could be doing all the right things and yet still have something, tell your neighbor, missing. And so we come to this passage now, and I got four things. I had three. I'm going to give you four. It says here in verse 8, it says, let's look at verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father? He said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb? Take it away the sins of the world. He's talking about Jesus. For the burnt offering. And then it says in verse 8, Abraham said. Now, you got to know there's a word here. This one word here refers to what's being communicated by a person's, watch this, actions along with their words. Lord have mercy. So he wasn't just saying something to say something. A lot of times we can come in this pulpit and say stuff, just say stuff. But I'm talking about saying some stuff and backing it up with action. So the first thing you got to do, if you're going to pass this faith love test, you got to remember to remain faithful. No matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how dim it looks, no matter how far it may seem like you are away from God, tell your neighbor, I got to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Let your faithfulness do the talking for you. Let your life. I told you last week that Abraham, week before, that Abraham thought that God was going to resurrect his son. That's what the Hebrew writer told us. He says that Abraham believed God so much so that he believed that if God asked for his son as a burnt sacrifice, God would resurrect Isaac. How was he going to resurrect Isaac when Isaac was going to be a barbecue meal for that day? Burnt up from the floor up. How would he resurrect? I wish I had somebody. And that tells you something about Isaac's, about Abraham's faith. Abraham didn't just believe God for what he can get from God. Abraham believed all of the intricacies about God and all of the details of theology as it pertains to who God is. God can raise the dead. He can open blind eyes. Come on, help me somebody. He can cause the lame to walk. Oh, yeah, he can do that. How many of you know he can do that? He can heal. See, we go through the process in the natural, but I want to tell somebody here today, God is a healer. And he can heal you so much so, but here's the thing. What do you have going for you in your life? Here's what I got going, and here's what we got to get going, is our faithfulness. When it says he said, He was not just saying something. He was exemplifying something by the way he lived. Do I have anybody? Can I help you with something? If you say it, you got to live it. And so he stayed faithful to God. And I believe that God rewards faithfulness. I believe that no matter what it looks like, saying sometimes it's going to look dim. Sometimes it's going to look like you're not going to make it. But just remember what you got going for you. The faith that you're standing on is the faith that will bring you through the other side. Do I have anybody? Text says, he says, and God, he says, God will provide. Now, I believe people say this is Jehovah Jireh. Well, they all wrong. Because the Hebrew word here is not Jehovah Jireh. We ain't talking about this kind of provision. What we're seeing in this passage, saying this is why you got to come to church. And you got to learn. First of all, the word for God there is El. All right? And that word El just simply means Elohim, which simply means God divine. God that's exceedingly abundantly, God that transcends anything that you can imagine in your life, Elohim. Now the word provide here is the word raha in the Hebrew. Now this word does not mean provision. It doesn't mean your bank account is going to get filled up. I'm trying to help somebody that when you're in a faith love test, you got to remain faithful. But the word raha here means to see. Elohim raha. God sees. Wait a minute. Matthew 6, 33, 32 says, and you, why are you worried about your life? What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, all that kind of stuff. And then he says this, he says, for your heavenly Father knows. Stop right there. Don't go nowhere. So I'm putting the dots together and I'm thinking to myself, if I'm going to make it through this, whatever this is, I understand something about the God that I'm following, the God that I've given my life to. And this is what I say. I say, if he knows and he sees, then what am I worried about? I don't need ADT to keep a watch over my home. I don't need Ring doorbell to figure out who is at the front door. No, I don't need that. Because here's the thing. With God, he sees everything in totality. And the thing about God is he doesn't see just today. He saw yesterday. And he saw the day before that. And not only that, but he sees my tomorrow. Oh, y'all sleepy this morning. I get you. Watch this. Watch where I'm going with this. If God sees everything, when I'm walking by faith, when I'm living by faith, I'm worried because I can't see. Oh, somebody here, you want to see it happen. God says, I already seen it happen. But what I want you to do is I want you to trust me enough. Trust me enough to know that because I am Elohim, Raha, because I see everything. I seen you when you were hurting. I seen you when you were going through. I seen you when you were, yeah, I see everything. I thought about this. I said, why did he say God will provide in English, but in actuality, in Hebrew, he was saying, son, God sees. So the next point is this. You got to remember this. God sees your need. He sees your needs. You know, this is not provision. This is observation. This is not provision. This is what? Observation. But the difference between observing, I can observe your need and say, I'm going to pray for you. But the beautiful thing about God is that when he sees your need, he can do something about it. There are some people you call and you're asking for help, but they can't help you because guess what? They see you, but they can't do nothing for you. And isn't that amazing how we run to those people? Isn't that amazing how we run to those people first because we figure, oh yeah, they gonna help me. But what you realize is that only one person can help you, y'all. But you gotta pass the faith love test. Oh, I thank God this morning. I feel real good about this. Because when I read it, I had to read it again. I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? I said, Lord, you said you would provide for me. He says, yeah, I know I will provide. But here's one thing. That ain't the right one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to see you through, Derek. I'm going to see you through your darkest days. I'm going to see you through what you're going through. But check this out, though. You got to check this out. See, the fact that God sees is comforting. He sees how you treat one another. Come on, help me, somebody. He sees how we live. We have to live with a constant awareness that all eyes on me. That he, and we ain't Tupac. He can see us. Hallelujah. I thank God. He says, son, God will see. But check this out. Check it out now. God will provide for himself. You know what? That's so powerful. That's such a powerful thing. That's such a powerful thing that it says God will provide for himself. You know what's so powerful about that? I realized this morning. God doesn't need me to preach. As a matter of fact, God doesn't need me for anything. I think about this all the time. When we have a need in our church and I say, hey, y'all, we got to do this, we got to do that, and some of you are real apt and amped up to do it, and some of you kind of reserved, and some of you kind of like, no, I ain't doing that. The point is, God doesn't need any of us. See, God can provide for himself. He's self-sufficient. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He doesn't need anything. Son, I know what you're looking at, but God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Now, you and I know, but you ever be in the room and you be the only one not knowing what's going on? And folk already had conversations. You just didn't know that. You thought they were all for you, but they already talked about you. As a matter of fact, you are a lamb to the slaughter. They getting ready to do you in. Amen. But watch this though. But watch where I'm going with this. Abraham had not, and could not really speak on this if he did not have faith. Check it out. Abraham, take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Watch this. Had he ever done something like that before? Let me ask you a question. What is it that you're supposed to be doing that God has told you to do, but you ain't done it yet? Because you keep saying, I'm scared. I haven't been down that road before. I have not done this before. I have not, you know, I have not really had experience in that area. Something you won't move past where you are because you're not willing to step out on faith. So you're going to continue to stay right there in life until hopefully you grow. But Abraham had never sacrificed a child before. As a matter of fact, the nations around him, that's what they used to do. They used to offer their children to Moloch. But here Abraham is obeying. Listen, can I ask you something? What do you do when God says to do something that you didn't read yet in Scripture? Something that you did not, you had something you're like, I never did that. As a matter of fact, they didn't teach me that. But God says, you want me to sacrifice my child? What did Abraham do? Abraham said, oh yeah, hold on, let me check the Bible real quick. No, he says, I'm moving. See, sometimes that voice you be hearing, unless you're smoking, that voice you be hearing, that's the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes his voice is so clear, but we are so clouded and crowded with so much stuff going on in our lives that we think, see, the problem in this generation right here is that they don't even know that on May 20th of this year, it will be Pentecost Sunday. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the birth of the church. That means the Holy Spirit is here now. He's inside of you. You don't have to guess like Abraham because you got the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Listen, we have it. We have these two things found in Psalm 23. Surely, goodness. Come on and help me, somebody. I said goodness. I said mercy. The Bible says you got some things going for you. Do I have any Bible believers here? Now I'm talking about, look, you want to get undignified this morning. Yeah, I know it's early. What time is it? It's almost my time. But watch this. It's early Sunday morning. But here's what I'm trying to say. You got the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. You got goodness and you got mercy. You got the church. Come on and help me, somebody. And you got the preaching. And I want to say to somebody here today, if you need more evidence, then I don't know what you need. You may need something else. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is when God is asking you to do something that you have never done before, then you just got to do it and trust him. So the next thing is this. Remember, God will supply what he needs us to sacrifice. Oh, man. All things come from the hands of your paycheck. You ain't working for the company. God owns the company. And if God chooses to shut down the company tomorrow, it's shut down. But everything that God, see, I believe this, saints, that the very thing that some of us are holding on to, that we won't sacrifice, God says, I gave you that to sacrifice it. You got in your savings account. Uh-oh, it's right. You got it tucked under your mattress. Come on, help me, somebody. God says the very thing that you need to sacrifice because I see the need. Watch this. The need was his need, God's need, not Abraham's need. The sacrifice would satisfy God's, watch this, God's righteousness, so that he would say to Abraham, yeah, now I know you love me. Can I ask you a question? Do you love God? Oh, come on now. Let me see. Mic on. Hello. Testing. It is working. Okay. Do you love God? Where are all the people that love God? Boy, that's some, what is that? What is that? What is all that patty cake stuff? Do y'all love God? No. That maybe people online. Can y'all hear me online? I know I got about 5 people online. Tell me, do y'all love God online? Because it don't look like it's happening up in here. Do y'all love God? Like, for real? What's wrong with your feet? What's the chair got you glued down? Or what's happening? Do y'all love God? I mean, I'm just trying to say, do you love God? I'm saying, do you love him? No, I'm saying, do you love him? Because love is a what? Action word. And sometimes we think we have to be conservative. God wants to see if you're willing to get up. If you're willing to move. If you're willing to do something, I got 5 minutes and 36 seconds. Watch this. If you're willing to move in the direction that he wants you to move in, and then are you willing to release what he has given you as a sacrifice? Sometimes you got to give up some of those kids that's giving you trouble. Sometimes you got to give up. Come on, somebody. That job that you feel like you ain't never going to get another job. There are billions of jobs out here. That opportunity that you're trying to the business you're trying to build, guess what? There are billions of customers out here. But you got to willing to sacrifice the very thing that God has put in your hands so that you can see your faith. Not test God's patience. Do I have anybody? The text says, so the two of them walked together. Now, it's interesting, this one verse, right? It says the two of them, you know, I try very hard as a pastor to keep this church from a lot of mess. I do. I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the front lines. And a lot of people know I don't play in the sense of I don't play the nonsense. If you have a problem with somebody, go talk to them. Nobody in this church is perfect. So sometimes you may catch me on the wrong day. And sometimes you may catch me on a good day. But the one thing we got to understand, if we can't walk together, we can't agree. And not only can we not agree, but wherever there's strife, God's presence is not there. And so this is the reason why I stay on the front lines, to make sure that we can all get along. Now, we may not be able to get along every day, but hey, for most of the times, we ought to at least try to get along. And I'm talking to somebody here, no, we ain't got no problems like that right now. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. The thing about it is we have to understand that we have to keep a godly attitude if we're going to walk together. Because here's the thing. Your faith will affect my faith. And do me a favor. If you can't see what God is doing in somebody else's life, stop speaking in their lives, telling them what not to do. I wouldn't do that if I was you. They walked together. And so the last thing you got to remember is to remain on the path of faith. Some of us have veered off the path. You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't see it. And because we don't see it, we sometimes get a little weary and tired. Sometimes you're walking with some people and you They don't see what you see. They don't understand what you understand. You get what I'm saying? They can't really comprehend that the fact that this is what it takes to walk by faith and pass the fake love test. You know, it's natural to assume that if we see a watch, that it has a watchmaker. Evolution would have us to believe that we could take the contents from within the watch, throw it up in the air, and when it lands, it's going to end up being a functional watch, telling the correct time. I wish I had somebody. And then all of a sudden, it starts ticking. But that's far from the truth. Because here's what I'm trying to say. Behind every design, there is a designer. And when Abraham walked by faith, he knew who his Redeemer was. He knew the creator of the universe put him on this course, and he knew that sometimes you can't hear his voice. Sometimes it makes no sense. Sometimes the devil just keeps working overtime. But what you got to remind yourself of, if I stay on the path, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Stay with him. Walk with him. Remain on the path, and you will see it come to pass. Give God.